Turn with me in your Bibles to Luke chapter 12. Luke chapter 12, verse 13. We are at the end of a series on mastering materialism. There is a paper here that you received from the greeters this morning. If you got one, that's the paper that they're giving out. If you did not get one of those papers from a greeter, we wanted you to have it. Just raise your hand and the guys will get it to you there. I just wanted to review very quickly here of the whole sermon series that we've been doing. It's the third week. We started out with treasure in Matthew 6, where your treasure is, the treasure in heaven, not on earth. Once you found truth, treasure. Truth is treasure. Isn't that wonderful? Truth. Isn't that a wonderful word? We do not have too much truth today. We can't. It's not too much you can really trust that people are telling you the truth. Aren't you glad you can trust the Bible, trust Jesus, trust God? Truth. That is a solid word. And that's your treasure. That's the joy. That's your heartbeat. Once you find that, it makes you know God, to figure out God, to understand God, to be walking and talking with Him. And to know God is not to worry. Let me say it again. To know God. If you have a God in heaven that's taking care of you, should you worry? If He can take care of the birds, can He take care of you? If He can take care of the lilies that are here today and gone tomorrow, can He take care of you? Come on. Why worry?
Because I like to. And
I got all, you know, God's stuff, you know, stuff you have, the needs you have. He says, let me worry about it. It's a good statement. Now, God doesn't worry, but I'm just turning it around. Let me worry about it. And then when you're not worrying, I don't want to leave that topic so quickly, because do we worry too much? We just take it all, you know. Well, no, we need to trust. God puts you in a place where you can't fix it, so you have to what? Trust Him. And when you do that, He comes through. I had a person that called me yesterday and says, God just came through. God just answered a prayer. I can't answer. I can't help this. I can't solve this. Well, then sit down and trust God and watch Him do it. To not worry is to trust God. He's the owner of everything. He's the controller of everything. He's the giver of everything. Everything you have, God gave it to you. Your job, whatever. And to trust God is to be content. Wow, is that cool or what? To be content is amazing there. And it says there, look at it. Let's read it here together. But godliness with contentment is great gain. Is that right? And having food and raiment, let us be therewith. What? What? And now that's another word I can spend forever on that. If you're going to trust God, instead of worrying, you can be content with what you have. And godliness with contentment. Another translation says, it's great wealth. You're a rich person. You're content. Do you know if you're content, you're happy? No, people that aren't content are not happy. They're always worried about everything. And with food and raiment, be content. And that is so much. To trust God is to be content. Number five, it says, to live content is keep seeking truth treasures. It's a circle, is that right? It goes back to truth treasures and it keeps going. To daily seek true treasures is to not want more than you need. We spent a whole week on that. There's a paper back there on figuring out the difference between wants and needs. Every family needs that paper, and you need to discuss it with your children about every 6 months. Is that right? Come on. It's very important. If we don't, it becomes a mess. Are we in a mess in America in that issue? Wants and needs? Wow. to see that. Number seven, it says, to trust God to meet your needs is to work to bless your family. We're going to mention this again, but that is very important to catch that and to have that going, and the very importance of work. We're going to hit that again here in a moment. And also, never spend more than you make. Is that a good rule? Never. I can't say it enough. Live debt free. There's a paper back there on budgeting. If you're troubled with not figuring out how to handle your money and all of that, is that important? It's very important. And in America, we don't see that. We have a credit card and we can just keep going. Will the credit card companies just keep crediting you all over the place? Yes, they never quit. They know that you're going to be in trouble. And that what they say, how much percentage of Americans are in debt, head over their heels, max their cards and all that? My, if you are there, there's people sitting all around you that could help you. And if you would just say, anybody here been in debt and got out of it? And you'll have five people say, I done it. And it's worth it. I just talked to one last week and he says, best thing I ever did was determined to get out of debt. Took me a while, peanut butter and jelly, and it took me a while, but we did it. Huh? And it's very, very important, because if you don't, you're in bound. Is that right? You're bound and you're worried and you're not content and you miss God. Is that right? Everything pours on you there. And that is very, very important to understand that. This morning we're on money and we're going to repeat a couple things here. But it says, don't love it. Is that right? Don't hoard it. Use it for God and good. That's the main phrase. Don't love it. Don't hoard it. If you keep it, you lose it. And then use it. Use it. That's our last point this morning. Use it for God and good. And we're in Luke chapter 12, verse 13. And I just want you to see this. This is a sequel passage of Matthew 6 where we started. But this one adds another parable to it that's just wonderful about hoarding and losing everything. And Joel's going to come and read this for us. Everybody there, Luke chapter 12, verse 13.
As you find your place in Luke 12, beginning at verse 13, we'll read down to 23, and then reading verses 32 through 34. If you need a pew Bible, it's on page 764. And if you would stand as we read together the words of Scripture, Luke 12, 13. And one of the company said unto him, Master, speak to my brother, that he divide the inheritance with me. And he said unto him, Man, who made me a judge or a divider over you? And he said unto them, Take heed and beware of covetousness, for a man's life consisteth not in the abundance of the things which he possesseth. He spake a parable unto them, saying, The ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentiful. And he thought within himself, saying, What shall I do? Because I have no room where to bestow my fruits. And he said, This will I do. I will pull down my barns and build greater, and there will I bestow all my fruits and my goods. And I will say to my soul, Soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. But God said unto him, Thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then whose shall these things be which thou hast provided? So is he that layeth up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God. And he said unto his disciples, Therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what you shall eat, neither for the body, what you shall put on. The life is more than meat, and the body more than raiment. Then drop down to verse 32. Fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Sell that ye have and give alms. Provide yourselves bags which wax not old, a treasure in the heavens that faileth not, where no thief approacheth, neither moth corrupteth. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Thank you. You may be seated.
This man had plenty. And he said to himself, what shall I do? What shall I do? Verse 17, look at it. And he said to himself, is self-talk very important? Do you talk to yourself? How many of you talk to yourself? Hope you all talk to yourself. Self-talk is very important. Can you talk yourself up? Can you talk yourself down? Okay, down self-talk is worthless, okay? You need to realize, what can I do? What would God have me to do? What does the Bible say to do? This man says, what should I do? And he was thinking in his selfish self. He should have said, verse 33, look at verse 33. He should have been talking about verse 33. It's amazing what it says here. It says, he built bigger barns, but it says, sell that you have, the alms that you have, and give alms. Provide yourselves bags which wax not old, a treasure in heaven that faileth not, where the thief approacheth and the moth corrupteth. And he just said, hey, I should, instead of building bigger barns, I should have given it away. I should bless all kinds of people. I should put some treasures in heaven, our abundance, to do with what we have in abundance and plenty, and to realize that, wow, why do I need more and more and more and more? Is that the American way? And there's nothing wrong with being wealthy. There's wealthy people in the Bible. It's what you do with it. And God expects you to make a living and to make a good living. But note in verse 18, it's I. It's all about me. And God says, you fool. You should have done what I told you to do. And you just had it all to yourself. And then verse 21 says, lay up treasures for yourself in heaven, where you're rich towards God, where you have a rich relationship with God. That's the answer to materialism. And it's very important. Don't love it. Don't hoard it. Use it. That's a big statement. Use it for good and for God, and let Him bless. Just thinking about money here in Luke chapter 12, verse 32. Everybody look at it. We receive it from God. Note Luke chapter 12, verse 32. It just says, fear not, little flock, for your heavenly Father's good pleasure is to give you the kingdom. He's not only going to give you heaven, He's going to give you your daily needs. Is that right? Everything comes from Him. I know I've said that before, but that's the basis of true joy and happiness and being able to have treasures in heaven. Because if it's from you, it's your treasures and they're down here. But it's from Him. Everything you have is from Him. He gave you the ability to get it, to make it. And that is the basis of the foundation of the truth here, of truth treasures, is you received it from God. It is not yours, it's His, it's yours on loan, so treat it that way. And when you lose it, well, God, you know, I've lost one of your things. One of your things is broke down. It's yours. And then once we realize that, we'll be able to let it be given to people and we won't hoard it. So receive it from God. So much, so important there to catch that. Turn with me to 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 8. Everybody, I'm going to read you some scriptures. But 1 Timothy 5, verse 8. Number two here is make it. Making money is very important. To meet your own needs so others will not have to always help to meet your needs. Whose job is it to meet your needs? You. That's the plan. Oh, you mean I'm not to live off of other stuff? You know, if you're given money, does somebody else have to make that money? Make note of that. If you even find it someplace, you ever found a $5 bill? Huh? You ever find some? You pick a bag up and it has hundreds of dollars in it? In the Bible, that Jesus sent them to the water and they caught a fish, remember? And they pulled the fish up and it had a piece of money in it. And He said, pay the taxes with this. Even if you find something, did somebody have to earn that? And that's the plan. We should never be on a place where, it given to me. In America, are we on a place where we're give and give and give and give? Should not be. And I should make that money. How many of you have worked double jobs? How many in your life? Wouldn't work two jobs at the same time. Look at all this. You know, three, you know. I think God needs to do that. I'm not going to spend a lot of time here in Acts chapter 20. I don't want you to turn there. It's just a text where Paul says, folks, these hands have ministered to my needs. It's my job. I was out there, but I didn't want to charge y'all or anything. We're just beginning. And so he says, I paid my own way, and I worked, and I paid a bunch of other guys' way, and this is the plan. We want everybody to realize I'm to pay my own way, and if I need to, I need to work double. I need to work hard and to plan there. I think it's very important that every kid knows how to work. I said this last week. I think every grandkid knows how to work. I think they need to know the value of money. Do our kids today not know the value of money? I want this. What costs $50? Well, I don't care. Well, you should. I always tell them, get a job. And it's important, the value of money and the issue of being entrepreneurs. Should we teach our kids to kind of make money? Huh? Yes. It is not to be rich so you can be rich and have all the stuff. We're going to learn the purpose of making money here in a moment. But it is for you, and it is very important, and your job. Wednesday night we went through Ecclesiastes chapter 5. Put it up. We're going to read it right now. Don't go to it. But I have a paper back there, Ecclesiastes, and if you weren't here on Wednesday night, you should get my sermon on that. We had a great time. Time of how to be happy, how to have joy. Solomon here said, nothing on this earth satisfies. Nothing. So how do you get joy here and there and here and there? Ecclesiastes chapter 5. Let's just read it. Here we go. Those who love money will never have what? Enough. How meaningless to think that wealth brings true happiness. It does not. Throughout their lives, they live under a cloud, frustrated, discouraged, and anger. Is that true? Yes, it never satisfies. Verse 18, even so, I have noticed one thing, Solomon's telling us, at least that is good. Here it is. Nothing satisfies, but here's how to be happy a little bit at a time. It is good for people to eat, to drink, and to enjoy their work under the sun during the short life, even if it's only for a day or an hour, God has given them to accept their lot in life. Is that right? Are we all in different lots? Different levels? We are. And it says, that's claiming contentment. To accept it. You know, where you are. Accept where you are. Let's keep reading. Verse 19. And it is a good thing to receive wealth from God. Is He the giver? And a good health to enjoy it. Is that true? That's all from God. If you're healthy, praise God. To enjoy your work and accept to be satisfied with your lot in life, this is indeed the gift from God. That's the gift from God. And that is so important. The last part here. God keeps such people, these people that are enjoying the small things in life, the daily things in life. Nothing satisfies very long, so they keep enjoying the little things. God keeps such people so busy enjoying life that they take no time to brood over the past or worry about the future. That's good stuff. Book of Ecclesiastes, the paper back there, has much more on it. It is very important that we take the time to know how to work and to train our kids to get a career or a trade. Is that right? To make enough money to support their family. Is that true? It's very important that we do that. And if you're not there, start planning to get there. That's why you have a church family here. Go talk to somebody that you look at and say, wow, they seem to have it together. I'm going to talk to them and see what that. Get to know other people. There's all kinds of things to train your kids to work, to have accomplishments, to do tasks, to think of entrepreneuring. I gave some ideas last week. I think that's very important. I think we have a day where that's not stressed enough. Our kids sure know how to play. Sure know how to play. They sure know how to gripe. They sure know how to be dissatisfied with everything. And if they were working for things, they would know how to appreciate it much, much better. Let's move on. Let's move on to spending money. Number three. Number three here is spend it on your family's needs and a few wants. I put that in little stuff, okay? Is there times to splurge? Huh? Please. We live in America, and if we lived in a different part of the world, it'd be different. Don't kick yourself. Each of us need to have some wants in there, but it should not master us, and we should meet our needs here. 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 8. I trust everybody's there. Teenagers need to be there. It says, but if any provide not for his own, and especially for those in his own house, he has denied the faith and is worse than an infidel. Is that right? Worse than an unbeliever. It's your job to plan for your family, and if you're a teenager, you need to prepare, or a career or a trade, to prepare for your family. Girls, I would not date a boy that didn't have a plan for making a living. Well, I want him to be cool. Cool guys are poor. Is that true? We have a problem today. Is that right? We have a whole problem. Whole problem. You know, what are you going to be in life? An astronaut. That's a good question to ask. What are you going to do in life? You know, well, I know how to fix this. I know how to fix this. I know how to build this. Is that right? I know. Should teenagers know that stuff? Yeah. And that's why we have church. That's why we have different families. That's why we have Trail Life. Is that right? Josh, you know, we're going to learn all this stuff. And it's very important that we're going to make a living. And that is so needed. Go to 1 Timothy 6, verse 17. 6:17. It's right close there. You're in 5:8. Go to another chapter over, 6:17. Charge them that are rich in this world, that's every American, that they be not high-minded, nor trust in uncertain riches. You can't trust in riches. It fleets. It goes. It goes very quickly. Inflation. But in the living God, catch this phrase right here. 1 Timothy 6, verse 17, who giveth us richly all things to what? To what? Enjoy. We're to enjoy. You're to enjoy life. You're to be content. You're to work hard. You're to plan well. You should make a living. Is that right? And enjoy. Oh, preacher, I just can't do that. Yes, you can. I think parents need to be there. I'm from West Virginia. Do you know what West Virginia is known for? Bunch of poor, lazy people. It's true. It's true. Now, they're good people. But so few tells them to, you need to prepare to have a job. You need to prepare to make a living. You need to prepare. Let's start preparing. What's that? No. We need to have that to spend your money on your family's needs is so important. Turn to Ephesians chapter 4, verse 28. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 28. Everybody. In Mark 6, verse 31, it is only one time mention of leisure and relaxing and vacation and fun in the Bible. Jesus' group hadn't had rest, and it says, come alongside. We've had no leisure. We've had no time even to eat, and there's time for leisure. That is Mark 6, 31 there on the paper there. It is important. There's time for leisure. There's time for fun. Dads, if it's all work, I want you to know there needs to be some fun. Amen? I want to say that. Now, if it's all fun, there needs to be a lot of work. There needs to be a balance of both. And I've said that before, but it's very important. There's times for that. Great times for that, and it's important. Make money. Spend money. Don't do it selfishly. Spend it on your family. Dads, we make money and we give it to our families. Is that right? That's why we're here. That gives me joy. Does it give you joy? To have a house and a car that you can put the family in and they spit on it and drop all kinds of cokes in it and everything else. And you're saying, no, that's life. That's life. That's why we work. And to provide for our family, you know, you should be proud of that. And that is something good. And our kids should see that. Our teens should see that. Our girls should see that. Our boys should see that to work. Number four is to save it, to save money, to live debt free. And to in Luke 14:28, you've already turned to Ephesians 4:28. In Luke 4:28, it just says, before you build something, they always laid the foundation and first went out and counted the cost and see if they had the sufficient stuff to finish it. Should we have plans? Should we have plans of what we're doing and how we're doing it so that we know what to do with it? It is very important. The paper you have. Get the paper out. If you have a paper, get the paper out. This is written, these are excerpts I took from John MacArthur in Managing and Mastering Materialism. The third paragraph from the top, the third and the fourth paragraph from the top. Look at it with me. It's very powerful. It says, the accumulation of wealth. Are you there with me, everybody? Everybody? The accumulation of wealth is the legacy of our materialistic world, and we need not conform to that perspective. We have to begin with the understanding that God owns what? Everything. But that is a problem for Americans because of the concept of capitalism and the right of ownership of private property is an American legacy which oftentimes keeps us from trusting God to meet our needs. Okay? It is not wrong to plan for the future. To save up money. God expects us to, and it is wrong. It would be wrong not to. Is that pretty plain? Should we plan for the future? The answer is what? Yes. If you don't, who will? Okay? And it says this, but not to plan for it would be wrong. The book of Proverbs affirms this. But when you cling to your possessions, when you hope and faith, when your hope and faith are in them, and when you live in fear of not having them, then you can't release them because you feel that they are yours. You can't give them away. Catch this illustration from John MacArthur. But if my church or some family in my church has a need and I have the extra resource to meet that need, that is a no decision for me. I'm going to take the extra resource that God owns and use it in His way to provide for that one in need. Catch this right here. In the future, God will have to provide for me in another way. Will God do that? Yes. I need to let God worry about my present and future needs. Short of being foolish, we don't need to be foolish. I think that is the way we have to learn to live to give. Is that right? It is more blessed to what? To give. And I hope you enjoy the blessings of giving. Because that is exciting to catch that. You're in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 8. Let me state this. If you do not have the ability to receive it from God in humbleness and realize it's all His, and then to start making it, God, I need to make a living, support my family, and then to spend it rightfully, and to not spend more than you make, and it's for the family, and then to save it, and to start saving it, to get to that, you will never get to the place where we're going to next. Okay? And you should save it for an emergency fund. Should all of you have an emergency fund? It's a big deal, big deal. We have a whole paper back there on budgeting and all that. It's good for that. Also for the future, yes, yes. And families first there. If you never get the first 4 points here, you'll never get to number five. And number five is to give it away. If you never have enough, make enough, and to spend it rightly and save it rightly, you'll never have enough to give it away. Is that true? And God wanted you to have enough to give it away. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 28. Everybody look. Let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor, work, hard work, working with his hands the things which is good. Here it is. That he may have to what? That he may have to what? That he may have to give. And to realize that, wow, it's a thrill for me to see a person in need and to help them. Is that a thrill to you? Huh? Have you experienced that thrill? Hope you have. Hope you have. That's one of the thrills of life, is to be able to be there. You're making money. You're supporting your family. You don't spend it too much. You keep it in check. You're saving money and you have extra. Is that right? You have extra. What's extra for? To build bigger barns. No, no. And there's people in need. And it is very important. You know, there's people in need in your church. Is that right? Does our church have needs? Yes. Do church families have needs? Yes. Do we have projects that have needs? You know, we finished that. We as deacons thinking about the lighting. Somebody mentioned some of the carpet downstairs. We have bathrooms that need to be done. Is that right? We have some needs around here. And aren't you glad that person gave $100,000 to do a roof? Do you know that lady was thrilled? Janet was thrilled. She was dying, and she was so thrilled. Preacher, I'll make that happen. I'll make that happen. I'll be excited to make that happen. And to realize that God did it, and to realize that there's a need. I have to give. I don't need to be selfish. I need to be sacrificial. And it is important to catch it. Turn to 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 17. Everybody. 1 Timothy 6, verse 17. It says in Proverbs 19:17, these verses are on your paper. He that hath pity on the poor lendeth to the Lord. Okay? You know, he that helps the poor, you are lending to the Lord. So you are directly giving to God and his work when you're helping somebody, when you're helping your church, when you're helping a church family, when you're helping a person in need, when you're helping God's work. You know, you are giving directly to God, and that's pretty neat to realize that. God, you're wonderful, and you're everything I need, and it is exciting there to catch that. In 2 Corinthians chapter 8, 2 Corinthians, put up the next one. Let me just read this to you. This is how do we give today? Well, where is Old Testament tithing and giving? Here it is. Here it is. Let me just read it. Now I want you to know, 2 Corinthians chapter 8, dear brothers and sisters, what God in His kindness has done through the churches in Macedonia. These churches have been giving. They are being tested by many troubles, and they're very poor. They're being persecuted and they're poor, but they are also filled with abundance of joy. Can poor people be happy? Yes, because God owns everything and they're content, and they're lot, and they know, and they're content, which has overflowed into rich generosity. These poor people were giving. Verse 3, for I testify that they gave not only what they could, that's their extra of afford, but they far more. And they did it of their own free will. They begged us again and again for the privilege of sharing in the gift of the believers in Jerusalem. They even did more than we had hoped. Catch this. For their first act was to give themselves to the Lord. Is that wild? And to us, just as God wanted them to do. Verse 6. So we have urged Titus, who encouraged your giving in the first place, to return to you and encourage you to finish this ministry of giving. Is giving a ministry? It's wow. And it says, since you excel in so many ways, in your faith, they were great in faith, in gift of speaking, they were speaking, and their knowledge and your enthusiasm, your love, I want you to excel also in this gracious act of giving. Next page. It says, I am not commanding you to do this. Not a command. It's not a command. Catch that. It's a gracious gift. But I am testing how genuine your love is by comparing it with the eagerness of the other churches. You know the generous grace, compares it to Jesus here, of our Lord Jesus Christ, who through was rich, yet for your sakes became poor, so that by his poverty he could make you what? Rich. Here is my advice. Give in proportion to what you have. That's the thing. What's God telling you to do? And each year as you're giving, you should say, God, should I give more? Should I give less? God, where am I? Where am I? And it's very important. God says, he's not giving you a command. The tithe in the Old Testament, good place to start. But give in proportion to what you have. Whatever you give is acceptable if, catch this, if you give it eagerly and giving according to what you have, not what you don't have. Of course, I don't mean your giving should make it easy for others and hard for yourselves. I only mean that it should be of equality. Next slide. Right now, you have plenty and can use those who are in need, help them. Later, they will have plenty, more than their needs, excess, extra, and will share with you when you have a need. In this way, there is equality. Will it go around? Yes. There'll be time that they need, you need. Verse 6, chapter 9. Remember this, a farmer who plants only a few seed will get a small crop, but the one who plants generously will get a generous crop. You must each decide in your heart how much to give. Is that the plan? That's God's plan. And don't give reluctantly or in response to pressure. Do we have a lot of pressure given today? All those people that show pictures of all the starving children, won't you say, if you can take a picture of them, won't you help them? And they send you all kinds of pictures. I don't know how to help them. And it says, for God loves a person who gives cheerfully, and God will generously provide all you need. God's there. Then you will always have everything you need and plenty left over to share with others as a result of your ministry. Then they will give glory to God for your generosity to them, and to all believers will prove that you are obedient to the good news of Christ. Isn't that great? That's just so simple and so plain. Give it away. God's plan for giving, and it's very, very important. And in 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verse 2, he just says, on the first day of the week, gather, give. And weekly projects, helping people, meeting needs, ministries, missions, give. And it's so important. And then lastly, use it. Use it. Use it to serve God even in retirement. I've been thinking about retirement. I'm not going to retire for a long time, but I've been thinking about retirement. And I was trying to figure out in the Bible where there's anything on retirement. Numbers chapter 8, verse 24 to 26 is the closest to it. It says, you that are 25 to 50. And it says, you have to carry the tabernacle and do all the business of the priests and the Levites and all that. But you over 50, you can't do the hard labor anymore, but you can still bless and minister and counsel and everything else. There is a time to slow down in retirement. Is that right? There's a time to retire from your own career. Is that right? Change careers. Is that what people do? Yeah. Slow down. I know I'm slowing down. Okay. But there's a time to do that. There's never a time to retire from God's work. Never, never. Some of our people are thinking about when they can retire and they have enough money to retire to go and help camps or go and help mission groups or go and help Bible colleges to go minister. We have people that are retired right here that are helping in good news clubs all the time and ministering to more people and ministering to more people. When you do retire and you have enough saved up to help your own self and you can start ministering more right here. I wish I could have an amen.
Amen.
That's you know, wow. If you have enough, now what's enough? I don't know what's enough, but the money boys, they have it way high, folks, way high. Don't get so high that you have no need. You need to be in a place where, wow, we could probably need some. That's where God wants you to be. If you're at a place where I'll never have any need, you need to give some of it away. And it's important to realize that God has this in retirement, and it's wonderful to catch that and to realize that God is good there. Timothy, 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 4. Everybody to learn. Everybody there. 1 Timothy 5, verse 4. Everybody there. I want every teenager, every person, every child needs to read this. This is not taught too much. It's straight out of the Bible. This is the best retirement plan. This is God's retirement plan. Here it is. Here it is. Here it is. But if any widow have children or nephew, relatives, grandchildren, let them first learn to show piety at home and requite their parents for that is good and acceptable to God. That's King James. Let me read New Living. If she has children or grandchildren, their first responsibility is to show godliness at home and repay their parents by taking care of them. No amens? Oh man, that's an amen and a half. You know, children, the best retirement plan you have is godly children, responsible children, and wise children. Okay, that's your retirement plan. And children are to take care of their parents when they get older. Is that the plan? That's God's plan. And you need to take care of your parents, and your children take care of you. You know we have a problem today? We have the family that's broke apart. We have a dysfunctional family. We have a family that doesn't take care of themselves. We have children that parents don't take care of them right now. It's terrible. It's terrible. And God's plan for retirement is that, and when that's not there, there's a mess. And it is something. All I know is, children, it's your job to take care of your parents. It's their job right now to take care of you. But when they get old, it's your job to take care of them. Do you got that? It's your job. You better get you a good job. You better prepare. You got to take care of them. And if they know you're buying the steak, they're going to buy a bigger steak. That was a joke. That's a joke. But it's important. It's important that we get that in our head. Is our culture, is that in the head of the culture of our day? No. It's God's plan right there. It's a command. That's a command to catch that and to live that. Retirement years should be given to God. Retirement years, you can serve God more. You should bless your family. You should bless people around you. You should bless your church. You should bless your church people. You might have some more time. Huh? Oh man, I'm busy. Make sure you're busy for God and good. God and good. Not just, don't just start doing the lawn and you have a better lawn. I'd rather you have weeds and serve God more. Huh? I think it's very important. Retirement is a great time, but it's for God. Put up the last two verses here. I love this. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 7. Finish well! I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. This is what God had me to do. I just didn't quit and go off the planet or just do my own thing or just have fun. No. Oh, we should have fun. Yes. But it's not. That's not the purpose. You can serve God. You're freer to serve God. You have time to serve God. You have the money to serve God. Serve God. Bless people. And that's what it says. Finish well. I finished my course. Paul never retired. He kept going till he died. and very important. Then this last verse, I want you all to look at it. It says this, it says, "Now that I am old and gray," are you there? I'm there. And it says, "Do not abandon me, O God. Let me proclaim your power to this new generation, your mighty miracles to all who come after me." We must give it to the next generation. We must give it to our children. You might say, "My children don't listen to me anymore." Won't you love them more? Won't you bless them? Bless them. "Well, they don't speak to me." Keep blessing them. Keep blessing them. Maybe you need to apologize for something. Maybe you need to make some things right. Is that always good to do that? Get back with your children, your adult children. Get back with them. Love on them. Bless them. Talk to them. Apologize to them. And it's very important. We need to get that together. That's the, and then your grandchildren. Is that right? Your grandchildren. Your great-grandchildren. I want that to happen. That's one of the great purposes of our church is the next generations. Is that right? We have four generations here. We got to keep them going. The older just can't sit down. The younger just can't play. We got to serve God. And it's very important. God, oh God, as retirement, I'm old, but I'm not going to stop influencing my posterity. God, help me. Help me. I'm going to love them and give Jesus to them and help them and care for them and listen to them and apologize to them. I'm going to make it happen. God, help me. Hope that's your cry. Some of you have some children y'all need to get back with. And then set a pace. If you're serving God, if you're just playing, that's all you do in retirement is play, you're missing it. You're missing it. You're to serve God. It's to use it to serve God and to say, this is what it's all about. Put the next one up. We are to have rich kids. We're all rich from God. Live wealthy. That means treasures in heaven. And it says, put the next verse up. Put the next verse up. It says, teach those who are rich in this world. Catch this. This is a key verse. 1 Timothy 6, verse 17, 19. Teach those who are rich in this world, I believe that's every American, not to be proud nor trust in their money, which is so unreliable. Their trust should be in God, who richly gives us all we need for our enjoyment. You should enjoy it, what you have, be content, work hard. Tell them to use their money to do good. They should be rich in good works and generous to those in need, always being ready to share with others. By doing this, they will be storing up their treasures as a good foundation for the future so that they may experience true life. True treasures. Truth treasures. Very important. That's how to handle master materialism. Our song we're going to end with is "Be Thou My Vision." I want you to catch God as your vision, because He's got to be your treasure. And then you got to put your treasure there. What did you do today for God? What did you do today to bless your brothers and sisters? What did they do today to try to share Jesus with somebody? What did you do today to bless your church? What did you do today to bless some families? Amen? And it said, "Riches I heed not, nor man's empty praise. Thou mine inheritance," you're mine inheritance, "now and always. Thou and thou only, first in my heart. High King of heaven," what is it? "My treasure, thou art." Amen.